everyone, and welcome back to the Icy Veins podcast, a show where we cover the news from the world of the Blizzard games of gaming. My name is Patrick Beja, and today we're going to be talking about WoW, Hearthstone, and Overwatch, because there's fun stuff happening in all three of those games. Of course, this is the site that is connected like a Siamese twin of some kind to the Icy Veins website, where you can find the guides that you know and love, a lot of news also, if you want to keep informed minute by minute about everything that's happening in the world of Blizzard. We do this show as well. There's a ton of other stuff on the site as well. And let me remind you, before I even introduce my wonderful co-hosts, that the site has a premium option available that not only helps you support the site that you like with a healthier option, I think, than basically giving away your personal data for ad targeting, which, it works for some people, but I think if you can afford it, it's really cool to have a premium version where you are not tracked, and also support this show, because this show doesn't have any ads at all in the show. We just get the support from the viewers of the site that decide to support it by the premium option, and who can also decide to give a certain amount to the podcast specifically, because that's one of the many options you get as a premium member. You can decide to attribute a certain amount to different sections of the site. So if you like the podcast, you can decide to give a little bit more to the podcast, to say the guides or the news or the forums and stuff like that. So that's everything you can do with your premium subscription. If you enjoy the site or the podcast or everything else on the site, please consider becoming a premium member. And now, please also help me welcoming Stan back to the show. He's always here, so it's not that big of an event. How's it going, Stan?
Yeah, hello. It's great to be back. We will be talking about really exciting WoW news. We've got like the patch 8.1.5 release date. But before that, we should also introduce Sophia, who's back helping us cover Hearthstone.
Yes, thank you, Sophia. You are back awake at an ungodly early hour for the young people like you. How's it going, Sophia?
Hey, guys. It's good to be back. And I'm awake, but it's fine. I'm morning past now.
I don't know if we can go that far. You know, it's really funny because I think every other show now we're like you're awake and you can't really speak properly because it's too early for you or Stan or someone. And I really feel the confrontation of generations here, because I'm probably a little bit older than both of you guys. And I'm like, I have a family and I wake up at a normal hour now. But the young people who are enjoying life to the fullest are going to bed late, like I used to do back in the day. So essentially what I'm trying to say is I'm old and I force everyone to conform to my schedule. So I apologize to Stan, Sophia, and everyone else who's ever been on this show, I guess.
It's fine. I literally started waking up early and I can really finish most of the jobs or the things I would finish like late in the afternoon. And now I'm able to finish it like before even lunch. So it's great.
Oh, so I'm having a positive influence in your healthy life schedule. Excellent.
I'm literally awake from 7 a.m. today. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. That might be extreme. I didn't even wake up at 7 a.m. I'm starting to feel guilty, but we'll see over the next few weeks and months if Sophia is also taken by this crazy fad of waking up early. I suspect she might not be.
I'll try my best, but I can't make any promises yet.
It's fine. No, please do enjoy the when you can. Enjoy it. Please sleep late, because it won't last, probably. All right, so enough about our crazy generation and life choices. Let's talk about World of Warcraft, which is actually probably also a generation thing for multiple generations, and a lifestyle choice. You decide that you are a WoW player. We have the date for patch 8.1.5. which is coming in just a week now on March 12. And there are a bunch of things that we already talked about in previous episodes about that patch. There are a few other things we're going to be mentioning on this this time. One thing I did want to highlight is the Crucible of Storms item compendium. The thing is, the new raid coming in 8.15, which only has two bosses, so I guess it's a mini raid, is not going to be available when the patch hits. It's going to be available a month later. So you're going to have to wait a long time to play that raid. I guess the other one, the previous one, the Siege of Dazar Alor, you know, the one we're playing now, has only been around for a few weeks, so that's reasonable. But once it comes out, one thing we talked about last time was the kind of new and weird different types of items that were available in that raid from the two bosses. One is for DPS and one is for healing. And the items being things that will help you and also do some kind of negative effect. And there are a few of them. I guess there are maybe 8 or 9 per boss. And they are kind of fun. I wonder, Stan, do you have one or two that you found especially interesting or fun with those mechanics?
I don't really know. I can't think off the top of my head of those items. But okay. I think there was one that would deplete the health of your allies. So that was kind of interesting. I'm not really sure how it's called, the effect, but it would virtually make you kill your allies, right?
So, and I guess it gives them damage and has obviously another beneficial effect. We have a list on that actually Stan put together, the Crucible Storms item compendium, and it's available on the site, so you can find that. Let me give you one example of an item. Your abilities have a chance of granting you a shield absorbing a certain amount of damage. While this shield persists, you can get 162 haste, so that's only beneficial effects. I want to find one that has negative effects as well. Your health restored to tethered allies. So this is not fun. This is all positive stuff all around.
Yeah, I just found a trinket. So it says feed on 5 nearby enemies allies or enemies, devouring up to 7,000 health from each, and you are healed for 3% of damage dealt. So basically you deplete their health in order to heal yourself up for the 300% amount of that.
Yeah, that's the idol of an indiscriminate consumption.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing we were talking about last time. That's from Unat, the Harbinger of the Void, the second boss. The fun thing is that if you manage it properly, if you manage to stay close to your, you know, only enemies, then it's going to be very beneficial. But you have to be careful, because if you're near allies, you're going to mess up their health and mess up the job.
Maybe those items will, I mean, this specific item won't be as really punishing on the normal or heroic difficulties when your health does not drop that often, but maybe on mythic it will.
Mm, yeah. So when you're trying to min-max as much as possible, it might make for interesting. I always wonder on those items if the benefits or issues it creates are worth your min-maxing, or if you should just, you know, not even worry about them and use other items. But I guess we'll see with the bigger guilds. There's another one, the malformed Herald's leg wraps, which open a fissure of void beneath you for 15 seconds, increasing your haste by 874. You will suffer 20,000 shadow damage if you leave the fissure. So that's like, once you commit to it, you have to stay for 15 seconds unless you want to get some damage. But I don't know at those high levels if 20,000 damage is enough that you should worry about it, or if you just don't care and you stay as long as you need and then you move and don't worry about the 20,000 damage. But so that's the kind of items you're going to find on those bosses. I think it's a fun mechanic. There's the tools of the trade, which are profession specific. I guess we don't talk about professions all that much on the show. But here's an opportunity. There are essentially items that allow you to get to do your job better as a profession, as a you know, what's the word for someone that does a profession? A professional? A crafter. That's what I was looking for. And there are items that will have benefits for your item crafting and also small benefits for the world when you're going out in the world. Is there any... are you a crafter, Stan? I don't think we ever discussed that.
Yes, I am. I'm mainly jewel crafter and enchanter, right? Because that's those two professions have proven to me to be like the most profitable, like long term. And what most stands out of the items is that, for example, jewel crafters will be able to take a socket out of one of their piece of gear, which is really cool, I guess.
You mean a gem? They can take it out.
Yeah, they will be able to take out the gem without destroying it. So that's one of the all items, all tools of the trade, profession items provide two bonuses. So, and the one of the bonuses of the jewel crafting item is that they will be able to take out the socket without destroying it.
Right. That's fun. I mean, that's really useful if you have super expensive gems, as some of them can be. So that's a really good thing if you are a jewel crafter. There's other things you mentioned. Enchanting, Iwen's enchanting rod will give you extra resources when you're disenchanting, so it will give you more stuff if you're doing it with that rod specifically. And the other thing is you consume one veiled crystal and you animate an inert golem. And I'm not exactly sure what the golem does. I guess it's a companion. But that's a fun little bonus for that. So you get those through a quest that you will get in 8.15, and all of the professions have one of those items. And some of them are kind of fun and almost like the items we were talking about for the Crucible of Storms, kind of a different take on original take on what the professions are. There's also updates for the Darkmoon Fair. Anything interesting there, Stan?
So for the Darkmoon Fair, we have literally like two new things. The first one is the roller coaster, which we discussed earlier on the show, meaning you will be able to ride it and receive the 10% bonus increase to experience and reputation gains. The second thing to talk about are companion pets. I'm saying companion because those cannot battle. We have like three new really silly looking pets that will become purchasable for 90 Darkmoon prize tokens. And that's it.
Is that the first time that we get companions that can't do battle? I can't remember ever
having... I don't think so. I mean, those balloon companions cannot battle, and I think Una cannot battle either, so that's like nothing new.
Yeah, they're really dumb and fun looking. They're like, yeah, as you mentioned, balloon animal kind of things, but they're all stitched together and they look completely dumb, but like cute dumb. I really like them.
Yeah, I mean, like literally the horse balloon looks like a piñata. I mean, what's the third one? Yeah, the wolf balloon looks like a pig, so it's really silly.
Yeah, and there's a murloc, of course, as well, which looks super, super lovely and cute. So that's, and of course, you went over the profession bonuses, which you might be interested in if you're chasing some achievements or some of the allied races requirements that you need to complete. So go do that. And there's also island expedition changes with the gear tokens.
Hello? Yeah, so literally we talked on the show in the past about plundered armor tokens that have been data mined. So we associated them first with island expeditions, and in the release candidate of patch 8.1.5, Blizzard added them to the doubloon trader vendors. So you will be able to purchase these BOA tokens. BOA means bind to account, if someone does know. And you will be able to purchase them for 20 CFIRS doubloons each. So they are meant for alts. So if you're leveling alts through island expeditions or are sick of leveling through quests because you completed the story over and over, you can really competitively gain gear up to max level. I mean, those are clearly the tokens at 120 are of item level 286. So it's really clear that those are not intended for max level characters, just for alts.
Yeah, just for leveling. And for those who don't remember, it's like, I mean, we've had those type of tokens for like a couple of expansions now. You just send them to an alt, or, you know, do them with your alt, and you right click on it and it creates an item at your level. So it's appropriate for your level. But then it's not like an heirloom item because it doesn't level with you. It's just stuck at the level you created it at. What else? There's a change to the drops for the Gmod, the mount, like the I don't know, Iron Man type mod mount for the current raid, which used to drop for Gallywix. It's going to drop off Jaina now, like it does for the other side. So they changed the boss that it's dropping from, basically.
Yeah, it dropped from Mechatork, and I don't know why, but probably because people left the raid before finishing the last boss. I'm not really sure. I haven't completed Raid Finder since the change, so I can't really comment on the.
Since it's a super sought after mount and drop, people would go to Mechatork, and if it didn't drop, they would just leave the raid. That's
maybe. I'm not really sure, but those are things that I've read on Reddit, so that may be the reason why this change was implemented. Right.
It's Gallywix's Mech of Death, which the Gmod stands for. Do you know if that's a mob, a mount that can only drop on... I was focused on, but it's off Jaina, so only the Horde can get it, but no, you can also kill Jaina as an alliance because you have the other part of the raid that you're being told what the Horde did. So I guess everyone can get it. That's
yep. Cool. I mean, we've previously had these raid finder mounts. For example, we had like Abyss Worm from Mr. Sazin in Tomb of Sargeras, as well as the one of the Hound mounts in the Argus raid, you know.
Okay. All right. I think that's about it for the things I wanted to mention for a while. We could talk about the portal changes, which are creating a little bit of a stir, but there are a few other things as well. We got a full look at the Kul Tirans as well. There's a bunch of stuff. I don't know if we want to talk about the MDI. I guess we talk about esports for Overwatch because I've started watching esports for Overwatch. But the Mythic Dungeon Invitational or International, as it's now called, is also quite popular. It started the Proving Grounds section of it started already. I don't know if you're. Maybe you're not a fan. I haven't seen them. I wonder, Stan, have you paid attention to that or not at all?
No, I haven't. I'm not really a fan either. I just watch the semifinals and finals most of the time because those are great matches, but I'm not really into these qualification things.
Do you know when the finals are going to happen? I guess it's still a little bit...
Early. I'm not really sure, but there is a schedule somewhere on the website, but I'm not really sure. Those are really long.
I think they're going to happen around when the new raid releases because a lot of raiders were complaining about it.
Okay. So, because they can't do both at the same time,
exactly.
I guess. That.
They can't do both. They can't run for the world first race and do MDI as well. So, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it's around when Crucible releases the MDI.
So sometime in April. We'll talk about it a little bit more. I'm very curious to actually watch it maybe for the first time, because for those who don't know, the MDI, so the Mythic Dungeon, is essentially Mythic Dungeon made into esports with a race. So instead of most esports is one team versus another, and you have to, you know, kill the other. Here, you have to race to finish the dungeon as quickly as possible. And sometimes they use some crazy techniques, or there's some really impressive, intense moments. So I'd be curious to see a super high level one, as you mentioned, Stan. The finals might be really interesting. So we'll follow up on those. And who would have thought, well, I guess it's been a while now since this happened, but the fun part is that the most compelling esports aspect of WoW is not arena, although that is also interesting for many, but it's a PvE thing, which makes sense with WoW. But so yeah, MDI, keep checking it out if you're interested. And I think that's going to be it for WoW. Let's move on to Hearthstone with a bunch of stuff happening. On one hand, we have a lot of some information on the this year of expansion with some interesting twists. And on the other hand, we have esports developments, which have been eagerly anticipated by the community. So, Sophia, why don't you tell us about the Year of the Dragon? What's new there for Hearthstone?
So, Blizzard has announced a lot of new features and stuff about the Year of the Dragon, and their decisions so far have been very popular with the community. Let's start with the cards that will go to the Hall of Fame, meaning that they won't be available in Standard anymore. Apart from the three expansions that are going away, which is Journey to Angoro, Knights of the Frozen Throne, and Kobolds and Catacombs, we also have Naturalized Doomguard and Divine Favor from the Vanilla and Classic set being rotated out of Standard. But also, for the first time ever, we have cards that are still in standard going away. And these are Back of the Moon Eater, and Gen Greymane. These are two legendary cards that change your hero power in the start of the game. And they have proven meta-defining and quite problematic as well. So the team has decided that even though they have been out for only just a year, they should go away.
Wow, that's surprising, but I guess they were really problematic if they decided to to rotate them out already.
Yeah, and along with them, there are four more cards that require you to either have a nod or even deck to trigger a special effect, but are also going away because it makes sense for them not to be around anymore.
And you said those were decisions that were well received by the community, so people are happy for once, I guess?
Yes, for now, at least.
Okay, that's kind of cool. So that's the changes to the cards. The thing that struck me the most, of course, is for the new expansions, one thing they said was that we were going to have an overarching narrative and theme over the three expansions. So it's not just going to be one contained story, three different contained stories. It's going to be one story that continues over the year. Is that correct, Sophia?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. There was also a teaser, I think it was yesterday at the time we are recording this. I'm not sure if it's for the first expansion or for the entire year in general, but we have the troll fortune teller return because he was also present in Whispers of the Old Gods expansion. And she's warning us about bad guys teaming up. So I guess we're having Suicide Squad Hearthstone edition, maybe?
The Suicide Squad expansion, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah,
cool.
But the teaser images for the free Year of the Dragon expansions were also posted, and I've made the post with some of my theories and some of the most popular theories online at the moment, but it's difficult to tell how these three expansions are going to be connected to each other, like you said, how we are going to form an overarching story. It's easy to tell what each of them may or may not be, but yeah, connecting them to each other is a whole different thing, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, you speculated that the first one would be something to do with Dalaran, which kind of the fortune teller has the eye at some point on one of the cards, which would make sense. But also she's all about the old gods, so it's not 100% sure. And from there, it's like the second expansion, there's an image that is ice blue, so you think about Wrath of the Lich King, but then there's also some kind of constellation thing, which makes you think of Algalon and these kinds of enemies. And then the last one is kind of Iron Horde-ish, but could be something completely different as well. They give enough for people to speculate, but really not enough to have anything definitive. How confident are you about these guesses?
Not a lot.
Okay, all right. So
They can surprise us, Blizzard. A lot of people think it might be something with Horde versus Alliance, or since we are getting a lot of old god stuff in World of Warcraft revealed in the next few months, perhaps we'll see something similar in Hearthstone as well.
Mm. That might happen. And it's just fun to speculate, honestly. It's part of the community excitement of it, so that's kind of cool. Another thing that they surprised us with was the announcement of the new format for esports for the coming year. I think there was a lot of frustration in that they weren't very clear or forthcoming with what they were planning. I didn't understand anything. I tried to read a little bit, but we have the Masters and Specialist format. Hopefully, Sophia, you can you understand them better than I do, and you can explain to us how it's going to work.
Yeah, Hearthstone Masters is the new name we are basically giving to the whole esports segment. I think now it's called Hearthstone Circuit Tournament.
So, Hearthstone, yeah. What? Sorry, you cut off before you finished.
Hearthstone Circuit Tournament.
Oh, the circuit. Yeah, okay. All right. So now it's Hearthstone Masters. Essentially, Hearthstone Masters is Hearthstone esports, official esports. Right?
Uh-huh. Yes, okay, that's cool. True. So it's going to have a three-tier structure. Basically, it's going to start with many online qualifiers, which will happen every week. And players from all around the globe can play at a time that suits them. So essentially, anyone can compete and can try their luck. And then they will move on to live global tournaments, which will take place in specific locations all around the world, kind of like it happens now. First, it's going to be Asia. Well, no, now it's going to be the US, then Asia, then Europe.
Right. We have March and April for the US, then May and June for Asia, and then July and August for Europe, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then the last tier is called the Grandmaster's tier, and Blizzard still has no announcements to make for it at the time, which okay. is a bit weird because we already waited a lot of time to hear about the whole Masters thing, and they still haven't said anything about the very final stage, which is what most players, well, the professional ones at least, are more interested in. But okay. I guess we'll learn that as the year progresses.
And, okay, so the Grandmaster thing is not the tour event that takes place like 2 months after the qualifiers, for which I just gave the dates. Like no. In June in the US, in August in Asia, and in October in Europe. That's a different thing. Okay, so Grandmaster is another thing. Then what is the Specialist format? What is that about?
Basically, it's a new way that games will be played in these competitions and all Hearthstone competitions from now. Because until now, we were used to having either the Conquest format or the Last Hero Standing one, but usually the Conquest one. And now we will have a different way of playing, which is a specialist format. And that entails basically that each player has to bring three decks of the same class and not three different classes like it used to be. And these decks cannot be very different from each other, meaning you will have a primary, let's say, druid deck, and you will bring two more druid decks that can have up to five different cards from the first deck.
So that means that you, I guess the specialist name makes sense now. You have to specialize with essentially one type of deck. Do you think the community thinks it means everyone's going to have the same deck? Or I guess you can't really, because even if there's a deck that is really popular, then you can use a deck to counter it. So it's dangerous, I guess, to use the one deck that is dominating the meta, because if people use it too much, then the person who's going to have one deck that specifically counters it is going to destroy the other people. So it might... I'm just thinking out loud now, but it's dangerous to use the one meta-defined deck, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Someone could use a counter deck and win the whole thing. I haven't given much thought to it either, and I haven't followed up on the reaction. But I don't know how interesting of a viewing experience it's going to be, players bringing the same class, three decks of the same class.
Do they have to use all three? I guess they have to use all three, or even if they don't, it's kind of the same class, yeah. I guess go ahead.
Yeah, for the first game, they have to use their primary decks, but then for the rest of the games, they can use any of their three decks, so they don't necessarily have to use all three of them.
Okay. I guess it will hinge, whether or not it's interesting, will hinge on the idea of people bringing different decks. If everyone brings the same decks, you know, the same class dominates the entire thing, you might end up having, I don't know, everyone using druid decks all the time, which would be annoying. But if people manage to have at least three or four different classes with three or four different types of decks because of that countering idea, it could still be fun. Even if you have, you know, a best of five with essentially the same decks in all three or four or five matches, I think it's still interesting because you see how each match turns out depending on the RNG and the different decisions people make. I think it could work, but I'm not sure. We'll have to see, I guess. All right. Anything else happening for Hearthstone?
I think I didn't say everything about the Year of the Dragon, although it's a lot of things.
Sorry, did I cut you off? Okay, go ahead. Keep going about the Year of the Dragon.
So, yeah, going back to the Year of the Dragon now, we will also have, as usual, solo adventure content, but Blizzard is going back a bit to the model they had for their very first adventure. So basically, PvE content will unlock every week progressively, and you can either pay 700 gold to unlock each wing for this adventure, or pay it with real money, 20 euros or $20, and buy the entire thing.
That's a surprising move. I guess it wasn't making as much money when they were giving away the single player content and encouraging people to buy packs. But yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it. I guess I haven't been playing so much Hearthstone, so it's not impacting me specifically, but I'm not sure. I mean, obviously I would prefer having free content than having to pay for it, but I don't know. Okay, anything else?
Arena is getting a very interesting change, which is that it will have a rotating draft pool, meaning that it will have different sets that will change twice every expansion, basically. So we will see older sets that have rotated out of standard return in the arena. So arena players will have many different deck building choices.
That's really cool. Do we know how many sets are going to be available at the same time?
It's going to be, well, for the first round of Arena, it's going to be, let me count really quick.
Okay, so it's more
seven sets.
Okay,
yeah.
No, so that's really fun. Like, they make different combinations of sets for the arena, which works perfectly for that idea because you get random cards anyway. So it's just spicing it up and not making it wild arena. It's just specific sets out of the, I don't know, 20, 30 sets that have existed already. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and a lot of people have asked for this for play mode as well, but I'm not sure. I guess we will test it with arena first, and maybe we can try it with play mode at some point in the future, although we have not announced anything like
it. But
it's a step in that direction, I guess.
Yeah, it could. I suppose there could be a separate mode. Maybe that would be too many different modes, but there could be a separate mode where you can use cards from specific expansions that could make it like renew the fun of the game for people who are playing a lot, I guess. All right, cool. I hadn't seen that the portion about the arena mode. That's really fun. Anything else?
And other than that, we have some small quality of life changes. You can now change the legendary quests, because you couldn't do that before. You can have a random card back, not pack back.
Yeah, that has been super requested for a long time.
Yeah. And last but not least, we are upgrading the deck builder to make it smarter, because right now when you autofill a deck or when you try to find a replacement for a card that you're missing, it will offer some pretty garbage choices that make zero sense.
Yeah,
but we will upgrade it to be smarter, and it can build around a single card that you have, or it can offer replacements for a card you miss from the cards in your collections, based on internal stats. So it will always offer the card with the best win rate for the deck you're playing, if you have it, obviously.
Nice.
So, yeah, perhaps this is bad news for Icy Veins, because perhaps people won't come to look for replacement cards on our site, but we'll see, I guess, how smart it's going to be.
I guess
for casual players, it's a good alternative.
Of course. But don't worry, computers will never be as smart as people. I'm certain they will never be as good as we are, right? That's always proven true in the past when we say computers and machines can't do what we do. It's fine. You don't want a computer Sophia on the show. You want the real Sophia, who wakes up early to be there. That's what we want.
That's dedication.
All right. I guess the one last thing I want to mention is the fact that the video that introduced the Year of the Dragon also introduced the new executive producer for the game, Chris Sigaty, who people who enjoy StarCraft will remember because he was on the StarCraft 2 team for a very long time. And it's interesting to see him jump into the Hearthstone team. I don't know where he's been for the past few years. We haven't seen him a lot publicly, but he's joined the team, as other members have left. And he was on the video with Ben Thompson introducing the Year of the Dragon. It's just nice to see a familiar face there for the old timers like me, and his voluptuous, wonderful hair graced the Hearthstone Tavern. So I wanted to mention and say welcome to Chris Sigaty on the team. All right. Are we done with Hearthstone now? Is it over?
Yep.
Okay. Can I talk about shooting people in the face?
Definitely. Go ahead.
All right, cool. So I can finally talk about Overwatch a little bit. Because we have some fun stuff happening in Overwatch. We have a new hero that is available on PTR. I believe he's going to be available very soon on live as well. He's a healer hero who has some really interesting mechanics. He has essentially, he can be a main healer, so that's a good thing for people who play healers. He's like a very specific type of dedicated character. He has super powerful healing grenades that do zone healing, so that's good for healing teams that are grouped. I'm not going to go over all of his abilities, but the most interesting ones are an immortality field, which you put down a little drone and it creates a zone where literally no one can die. I mean, your allies, you can't die. You can get down to like 20% of your HP, but you can't die at all. And the ability is on a 20-second cooldown. Of course, that would be way too powerful if there was nothing you could do about it, but you can actually, the drone hovers like a couple of meters from the ground and the enemy team can destroy it. So it creates all of those interesting plays where you want to place it in the right spot, maybe protect it a little bit and make sure it's positioned properly, and the enemy team is going to try to destroy it. It lasts for, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds, a little bit less. So that's a fun one because it allows you to counter some moves that you didn't have anything to counter for before, like a D.Va bomb or a Junkrat mine, stuff like that. And so that's on the healing side. And he also has his ultimate, which is the amplification matrix, which he places like a field, a square field in front of him. And any projectile that goes through it is going to have its damage or healing multiplied by 2. So any damage you do with a bullet, some of the abilities don't apply, but most of them are going to be twice as powerful, including healing. So it's really interesting where you're going to place it. Do you place it to get people to do lots of damage, or do you place it to have your healers keep your team alive forever? It's not super big, so it can't cover a huge area. So that's a pretty fun ability and different one in the way you're going to use it. So I thought that was a pretty cool addition to the hero pool. It's not the easiest hero to play, but he's a fun one to play, I guess. So that's the latest hero that's on the PTR right now. He's also, like, the backstory is fun. He used to be a member of Talon, but then he left that evil organization, so it's kind of a rebel character, which is fun too. Of course, in Overwatch, the story and the style and character of all of the heroes is always a big part of the attraction for the game. So it's not like a new mode or anything revolutionary, which we're hoping for all of the Blizzard games right now, but it's still a fun hero. And I think it's going to have some interesting impact on the game. The big question now, of course, if you're following esports, is whether or not it's going to change the GOAT meta, which is the dominating meta at the moment. But it's a little bit too early to tell because it could go either way. It could either reinforce it or help break it, but we'll see. And since we're talking about the meta and esports, I do want to check in with Stan, who told me he would see if he would watch a couple of games of Overwatch during the games during the second season that has started a few weeks ago. What happened, Stan? Did you watch or did you not
watch? No, I completely forgot about them. Completely.
Like, all right.
I saw them even in the launcher, like popping up, glowing red, watch now. But I really forgot about them. Right?
Okay, so you were watching it, you were seeing it in the launcher and going like, no, I forgot about it. I see how it is. That's fine. You know what? It's okay because last weekend, the Paris team lost, unfortunately. We were all devastated, of course, all around the world. They lost to the... Who was it? I don't want to say... It wasn't Washington Justice, was it? No, it was... Can't remember.
Some low life nobody beating the Paris team. How dare they?
Thank you, Sophia. That's exactly how I felt. To be fair, they completely destroyed our team. So they were really much better than we were. And I can't really, you know, fault them for... I can't even criticize them too much because they were so good. And the Atlanta Rain. That's who it was. The Atlanta Rain. They were really good. I think Washington Justice is who we beat last week. So we still won two of the matches and lost one. And the team will go back to work, of course. And we'll see how it goes in the future games. The Paris team has only played a few yet, less than the others. But it was a little bit frustrating to see them lose that way. But we'll see what happens in the next matches. What this reminds us, I think, is how good every team in the league is. They're all incredible, and you can never take anything for granted. So that was still fun, even if it stung a little bit. And the other news I wanted to mention was that Blizzard has said that the first week. Of the Overwatch League has had 30% increased viewership compared to last year. And it was pretty good last year. And that's probably due to the fact that we have times for the matches that are possible to watch from Europe. It's very easy to watch in the evening on Saturday and Sunday if you're in Europe, which wasn't necessarily the case every time last year. So that's pretty cool if you're from the old continent. And that also means that, Stan, you have no excuse. Just saying. However, I don't know when the next matches from the Paris team are going to be. I don't think they're going to be as easy to watch for European viewers. So... You might have another excuse there, Stan. We'll see. And that's going to be it for this show. We'll leave news from other games for next time because there wasn't a lot. Although some kind of interesting things from Diablo, but we'll talk about it. It's very tiny and very speculative, so we'll see about that in the next episodes. Before we leave, though, I would like to remember you that you can become a Primer member of IC Veins. It's very easy. There's a button at the top of the website. You can go there, and I told you about all the perks you get at the beginning of the show, so I won't repeat it. I will, however, ask Stan and Sophia to tell us where we can find more of them on the internet. Stan, you go first.
Okay, so you can find me covering news from Blizzard Games over at icveins.com, and on Twitter, you can find me under HeroesPawn.
HeroesPawn, and you cut off before you finished, as you always do.
Sorry about that.
So HeroesPawn, the link will be in the show notes. Sophia, what about you?
You can also find me on icveins as Zadina, and also on Twitter at Sophia_XA.
Sophia underscore, and you cut off before you finished, of course. God. I thought if I admonished Stan, then you wouldn't make the same mistake, but yes, Sophia.
You must cut off as well now.
Yes, I have to. Did it work?
I'm pretty sure I didn't unpush the button, but okay, it is Sophia _XAL.
Yes, now it worked. Perfect. Sophia XAL. For me, it's Not Patrick on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also find my gaming show, my general gaming show, Pixels, on any podcast app. If you're listening to this on a podcast app, then you can go to the search field and search for Pixels, and you will find that show over there. On the latest episode, we covered a bunch of stuff, including the rumors of the Xbox arriving to the Switch, some impressions on Anthem, which we were a little bit disappointed with, and we explained to you why, and a bunch of other things. So that's the latest episode of Pixels. You can go check it out also at frenchspin.com, which is my website where I do podcasts. So thank you for listening, and we will be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of the Icy Veins podcast, of course. Talk to you then. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.